Now, to James Watkins.
Had a discussion the other day with a very fine gentleman and very sincere, and yet it is to me amazing the difficulty that intelligent men have in making a distinction between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Just those terms should say a great deal to us. Old, new. You see, the Old Testament is a system of types and shadows and prophecies of which Jesus Christ is the antitype, the substance, and the fulfillment. That's what the law of Moses and the prophets, yea, the book of Psalms, was all about. Portending, foretelling, showing the time when the Messiah would come into the world so that men could be saved from sin. Men today still want to observe the Old Testament. Some even consider the Sabbath as the Lord's Day, if you can imagine. The Sabbath, keeping the Sabbath, was the fourth of the Ten Commandments. That was given to Moses on Mount Sinai for the nation of Israel exclusively. Oh, and its duration was till the seed should come, as we'll notice later. But you know, when you stop to think about it, law has no means or ability to remove the guilt of sin. Never has and never will. That's not the purpose of law at all. You see, law is given to condemn the infraction of its content. That's why Paul said in Galatians 2 at verse 14, "For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." Well, we understand that. As a matter of fact, in Romans 1, 16 and 17, as we've noted many times, he said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. For therein is revealed a righteousness of God from faith unto faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And he, of course, enlarged on that. And in chapter 3, we find him saying in verse 20, "For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. For through the law cometh the knowledge of sin. Oh, but now apart from the law hath a righteousness of God been manifested, even the righteousness of God, which is according to faith in Jesus Christ, unto all them that believe." And there's no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, of being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to show His righteousness because of the passing over of the sins done aforetime in the forbearance of God. For the showing, I say, of His righteousness at this present season, that He may Himself be just, and the justifier of him that hath faith in Jesus. Where then is the glorying? It is excluded. But what manner of law? Of works? Nay, but by a law of faith. We reckon, therefore, that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. That's through verse 28. Now, that's an interesting statement. What did he say? Romans 3, verse 20. "For by the works of law," and you can drop the article, "for by the works of law shall no flesh be justified." You see, law is not given to justify. As we said, law is given to condemn the infraction of its content. That's why the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 8 at verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." Now listen, he refers to the law of Moses. "For what the law could not do, being weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." Now, wait a minute. What is he saying? "For what the law could not do, being weak through the flesh," that is, since man couldn't keep it perfectly. Oh, and you make a mistake under law, and you're guilty. Well, certainly, law has no means of forgiving. Law condemns the infraction of its content. And as Peter said in the conference at Jerusalem, of course, Acts chapter 15, with regard to the law of Moses, "which neither we nor our fathers were able to bear." So the law of Moses had no remedy for sin. "For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." So then that's what Paul is saying in Romans chapter 8, what the law could not do because man couldn't keep it perfectly. And if you make a mistake under law, you're guilty. We've illustrated it, haven't we? You're tooling along the highway out here. The radio on, the air conditioner going, and at the blue light special pops up behind you, you know, and you pull over, and this tall, broad-shouldered, good-looking fellow with a campaign hat on comes up to your window, and he says, "Sir, may I see your license?" You hand them to him, and he goes around the back of the car, and I don't know what he does back there, but I know what he does when he comes back up front. Pulls out that yellow book and begins to write. Now, you can explain to him you can't go to the game, so you don't really need the ticket. And he's very nicely said, "Well, I'll give you one anyway, you know, just in case." Friend, that sign you passed back there said 70 MPH. MPH are initials, having to do with the velocity of that bomb you're chauffeuring along the highway there. You were doing 85. What? The law says 70. You were doing 85. Oh, there's not a law in heaven. There's not a law on earth. There is no law extant that can say that you're innocent. You say, you're guilty. You see, that's law. The violation of law condemns. It has no remedy for sin. That's why the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews 10 at verse 4, it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. You see, even the people who were faithful unto the law, every year the high priest with the blood of animals went into the most holy place to make atonement for himself and for the people. Oh, but the Hebrew writer said there, their sins were remembered year by year. Why would that be the case? Because the law has no remedy for sin. I say, their sins were remembered year by year. But now, let's go back to Romans chapter 3. Verse 20, "For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified, for through the law cometh the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from the law, a righteousness of God has been manifested, even the righteousness of God, which is according to faith in Jesus Christ. To all people, no, to them that believe." And there's no exception. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Now listen. "Being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood." That word propitiation simply means satisfaction. You remember that John said in 1 John 2, verse 1, "These things write I unto you that you might not sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins." Not for ours only, but for the whole world. That's why Jesus came into the world, to make satisfaction for my sins. That's why he gave his innocent life for my guilty life. That's why, as a sinless Son of God, he died for a sinner such as me. To do what? To make satisfaction, to make propitiation for my sins. Yes, God sent forth his Son. Born of woman, born under the law? Yes, sir. And he did that so that a sinner such as I could stand in a right relationship with himself. Now, being justified freely by his unmerited favor, grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to show his righteousness because of the passing over of the sins done aforetime in the forbearance of God. What is he saying? Under the law, even for those who were faithful under the law, he passed over their sins. Their sins were remembered year by year. Well, when were their sins forgiven? Hebrews 9 at verse 15, speaking of Christ, says, "He is the mediator of a better covenant, that a death having taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first covenant, they that have been called might receive the promise of the eternal inheritance." Those who live faithfully under the law, when were their sins forgiven? When Christ died on the cross. You see, without shedding of blood is no remission, Hebrews 9:22. Impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin, Hebrews 10:4. For the blood of bulls and goats is all they had in the Old Testament period of time. Right. So their sins then were forgiven when Christ died on the cross. Why, sure, from the transgression of Adam until the end of time. The only remedy for sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, why should I, as Paul said to the Galatians, go back to a weak and beggarly element in which there is no forgiveness, and it is impossible for man to keep it perfectly. And all of the sacrifices and the, my friends, that would be the height of folly. Why did God give that law? Paul explains, does he not? In Galatians chapter 3, verse 15, you remember beginning? He said, brethren, I speak after the manner of men. That is, here's something now that all men understand. Though it be but a man's covenant, will, testament, yet when it hath been confirmed, no man maketh it void or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham were the promises spoken unto his seed. Now listen to him. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but to thy seed, which is Christ. What are you saying? In Genesis 22, verse 18, God said, in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. To what is he referring? Oh, somebody said to the nation of Israel, they're going to be... No. Inspiration tells you. He saith not unto seeds, that is his descendants, the nation of Israel. No. Oh, that was the vehicle through which God sent his son into the world. No question about that. But no. That specific promise, in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. What do you say, Paul? He saith not unto seeds as of many, the literal descendants of Abraham, the nation of Israel. No. But to thy seed, singular, which is Christ. So then, the nations of the earth will be blessed through Jesus Christ. Right. And he continued, now this I say, a promise confirmed beforehand by God. The law, which came 430 years after, doth not disannul so as to make the promise of non-effect. What is he saying? In Genesis chapter 15, God made a covenant with Abraham. Talked of the fact that he would give him the land flowing with milk and honey, the land of Canaan. Oh, but he said, your descendants, your people will be in bondage, etc., etc., etc. And he mentioned the term 430 years. So God made a promise to Abraham, and it would be fulfilled 430 years later, physically speaking, with regard to the gift that God promised to Abraham and to his descendants. Right. Now listen to what Paul said. God made a promise to Abraham, Genesis 22, verse 18, in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, he didn't say seeds as of many, but to thy seed, singular, which is Christ. Now, this I say, the promise confirmed beforehand by God, the law which came 430 years after that promise was made does not disannul so as to make the promise of non-effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, then it's no more of faith. Oh, but God granted it to Abraham by faith, in a promise. Oh, then the Orthodox Jew, or those who don't know the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, would then ask, what then is the law? Oh, verse 19, he answers, it was given because of transgression till the seed should come, through whom the promise hath been made. Wait a minute, what? What purpose did the law serve? It was given to make sin sinful. Violation of the law is sin. God demonstrated the fact that men are to be faithful, obedient to him. The law was given because of transgression. For how long? Oh, till the seed should come. How long was the law of Moses to be effective? Till the seed should come, through whom the promise had been made. Who is the seed? Back up to verse 16. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but to thy seed, singular, which is Christ. Now the law was given because of transgression. For how long? Till the seed should come, through whom the promise hath been made. Oh, then the law was to be authoritative until Christ came on the scene. Right. Well, what took place when Christ came on the scene? Oh, Matthew 5, 17 and 18. Jesus said, think not that I came to destroy the law of the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. Till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle shall in any wise pass from the law till all things be fulfilled. Wait a minute, Lord. You didn't come to destroy the law of Moses. Certain on us. You can't do that. That's the word of God. Oh, he said, not one jot or tittle, the smallest characters in the Hebrew alphabet, would in any wise pass from the law till all things be fulfilled. And I remember that he said, in Luke chapter 24, verse 44, just before his ascension, speaking to his apostles, he said, this is that which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things that are written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms, concerning me, hath fulfillment. Wait, Lord. You are the fulfillment of the law. That's what Paul said. The law was given because of transgression till the seed should come. Right. Oh, and Christ said, I came not to destroy the law, no, but to fulfill it. Now, he said no part of it, even the smallest part of it, will pass till all things be fulfilled. Christ, did you fulfill all things? Luke 24, verse 44, that's what he said. All things written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me hath fulfillment. Oh, then what did he do with the law as a source of authority in matters religious? Colossians 2, 14 through 17, having blotted out the bond written in ordinances which was against us, which was contrary to us, he hath taken it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Having despoiled the principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in respect of meat or drink or a new moon or a feast day or a Sabbath day, which are a shadow of the good things to come. Oh, but the body, the substance, is Christ's. Wait a minute now. He blotted out the bond written in ordinances which was against us, right, as Peter said, which neither we nor our fathers were able to bear. So it was against us. We couldn't keep it perfectly. Out of the question, make a mistake under law and you're dead. And so Christ fulfilled it and did what with it? He took it out of the way. As Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, he broke down the middle wall of partition, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that he might create in himself of the two, Jew and Gentile, one new man, might reconcile both in one body unto God through the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. That's from Ephesians 2, and that was verses 14 through 16. What? Christ, when he came, broke down the middle wall of partition. What's that? Abolished in his flesh the law of commandments. As a source of authority in matters religious, Christ fulfilled the Old Testament. Therefore, he removed it. Now, somebody says, now, we're to keep the Sabbath. Do you lose your soul? Galatians 5, verse 4. Ye who would be justified by the law, you're falling away from grace. There's no way you can please God and perform one act in the Christian age by the authority of the law. Lose your soul. Christ either fulfilled it or he didn't. He said he did. Faith is necessary to salvation. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But now somebody said, well, now, Paul, preacher, what Paul talked about there in Colossians 2, 14 through 17 is not the law of Moses. Oh, really? Let's hear that again. Having blotted out the bond written in ordinances, which was against us, which was contrary to us, he hath taken it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Let no man therefore judge you in respect of meat or drink or a new moon or a Sabbath day. Oh, why? Friend, you can't take the Bible and say, Watkins, you're not obeying the Lord. You're not keeping the Sabbath. Right. And if I had lived under the law when it was authoritative, I wouldn't have kept the Sabbath. I'm a Gentile. That was given exclusively to the Jewish nation. But it doesn't apply to anyone today. You keep the Sabbath, lose your soul. Galatians 5, verse 4, makes that very, very clear. The Sabbath was the fourth of the Ten Commandments. Oh, that was given exclusively to the nation of Israel. Let no man therefore judge you in respect of meat or drink or the new moon. Those were all things that had to do with the law of Moses or the Sabbath day. No. You see, that law does not apply in the Christian age. You remember the Mount of Transfiguration? Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 5. Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, went up into the mount, transfigured before them. His garments became glistening and white, whiter than any fuller or launderer could make them. Oh, and there appeared, talking with him, Moses, representing the law, and Elijah, representing the prophets. And they were talking about his decease, which must shortly come to pass in Jerusalem. But the old outspoken Peter, he said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, I'll build 3 tabernacles, booths or brush arbors, shelters from the elements, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elijah. He would have exalted Moses, representing the law, and Elijah, representing the prophets, to a plane equal with Christ. Friends, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Moses, representing the law, Elijah, representing the prophets, were taken out of the way. Only the Christ was left. And God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Christ is the sole authority in matters religious in the Christian age. He fulfilled the Old Testament. And you try to go back to the Old Testament and observe any part of it, you lose your soul. Let's notice all that Paul said there in Galatians chapter 3, and let's repeat now for emphasis. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. We all understand this. There will be but a man's covenant, yet when it hath been confirmed, no man maketh it void or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham were the promises spoken unto his seed. He saith not unto seeds, as of many, but to thy seed, which is Christ. Now this I say, a promise confirmed beforehand by God, the law which came 430 years after doth not disannul so as to make the promise of none effect. Oh, for if the inheritance is of the law, then is no more promise. Oh, but God granted it to Abraham by promise. What then is the law? Oh, it was added because of transgression till the seed should come through whom the promise hath been made. And it was ordained by angels through the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given that could make alive, verily righteousness would have been of the law. Oh, but the Scripture shut up all things under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. So before faith came, we were kept in ward, shut up unto the faith which should afterward be revealed. Now listen. So that the law is become our tutor, schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now hear him. But now that faith is come, we are no longer under a tutor. You can't make language any clearer than that. For you're all the sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ did put on Christ. Where there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female, you're all one man in Christ Jesus. That's interesting, isn't it? Friends, we need to pay attention to what the Scripture teaches. What was the purpose of the law of Moses being given in the first place? Well, verse 19 says to make sin sinful. Yeah, but it did more than that. It was a tutor and instructor to bring the Jewish nation to Christ. If they had not made void the law of God by their traditions, they would have recognized the Messiah. Oh, but God had to send John the Baptist preaching the baptism of repentance unto the remission of sins to the nation of Israel because they were astray. They had made void the Word of God, but their traditionalism needed to be brought back to the law so that they could recognize the Christ. That's why the law was given, to serve as a schoolmaster, a tutor, to bring the Jewish nation unto Christ. Oh, and when Christ came, oh, then salvation was available to all men, Jew and Greek alike. As Romans 10, verse 12 says, there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, and is rich toward all who calleth on him. So there is no difference today in the Jew and the Greek. And you know, sometimes people get some of the wildest ideas. They say, oh, now Israel is going to be restored. There is no Israel. No, not in the biblical sense. There is no Israel at all. Herod the Idumean wanted to rule over the Jews. They disallowed it. He destroyed the genealogical tables. A Jew today doesn't know which tribe he came from. So you couldn't reestablish the sacerdotal, the priestly system of the Old Testament. Who's a Levite? Well, they don't know. They wouldn't know one tribe from the other. That's out of the question. No. There is no special attention given to what is called Judaism or Israel today in God's word. No. Salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ. That's true of all men everywhere. Without it, they, of course, will be lost. The law is no longer authoritative in matters religious. You cannot keep the Sabbath, and a Gentile couldn't keep it at all. It was given to the Jewish nation. Friends, we need to understand that. We need to read God's Word regularly loyally, and faithfully. May God bless.
Now, back to James Watkins.
Friends, law is given, as we understand, to provide for the correct conduct of human activity. We know that. Oh, the law of Moses is similar, given because of transgression. For how long? Till the seed should come. It kept man in a certain relationship with God, and of course men who violated it were punished. Men who obeyed it were blessed. And through that we learn, according to Romans 15 verse 4, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and through comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. So then the law is a tutor, instructor, to bring men to Christ. We understand better the will of our Lord when we know the teaching of the Old Testament. So both the Old Testament and the New Testament make up the Bible. The New Testament is authoritative. Christ is the Savior. The law has been fulfilled. May God bless.